Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Father, we ask that you fill us afresh this morning. Touch everyone. From the front to the back, from left to right, let nobody escape your touch this morning. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Gospel said a big amen. So sit right down in the midst of that atmosphere, that anointing. Sit there. I need you musicians on stage still. Somebody help him. In the moment, everything that's been a source of pain in your heart right now, God is wiping it out. God is wiping it out. Every source of concern, every burden in your heart, every pain, God is wiping it out.
What we waited for has come to pass.
For someone this morning, you are struggling with sin and you've done everything you know how to do. You've cried nights after nights. You've cried praying that God will put a fire in your heart for him. You just can't put your foot on the ground and you're not happy with your walk with God. God says to tell you in a short moment what you've been praying for, you would look back. And the chains will be off your hands. The chains will be off your feet. And you'll be serving God in the beauty of his holiness. Did somebody receive that prayer this morning?
See what the Lord. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord.
Has come to pass.
Has come to pass.
See what the Lord.
See what the Lord has done.
Play it, Emmanuel. Play it. Will you bow your heads and pray in tongues 1 minute? Membra doko sheda da bakatas kaha. Leda baba bande ke brande de kasha hakatai. Leda bamboko sude de brondo lo boko shiat. Indem bram bamboko ko krandeli ki taliki bata. Shenenem boko koko manga diliki bliataya. Reba ko shate kaba brande ko siataya. Reba baba bashana nande tete, kubato sokete lebroko fele kebriata ya, re la baka shambrende leboko sute, fire mambe keto shada dahaya, fire 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 of the Holy Ghost, fire of the Holy Ghost, ete shada de bataya. Reboko see a feel afresh, 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 afresh.
See what the Lord.
Heaven. His presence right here this morning. Glory to God. So much grace in this place. So much grace in this place. Come. Yeah, you. Are you ready? Come. So much grace in this place. Come. Your hunger is satisfied. Says the Lord, your thirst satisfied, your pant in your heart for him is satisfied right now. He sees the hunger in your heart. Of Jesus, you're never going to be dry. It's as if a flood, a bubble right now, filling up desert places. In the name of, you're not going to be dry. It's going to fill with so much. There'll be so much, and there'll be so much flowing out of you to the generations around you. In the name of Jesus, he says to tell you that your hunger is satisfied. I've seen your hunger, I've seen your heart, and I'm going to fill it. Says the Lord, receive. Grace in this place this morning, and I don't want you to miss out. Amen. Freshness everywhere, open doors, bubbling the spirit. Amen. Just pray in tongues 1 more minute. Kebabush, kebrate, brande, kashede de bahaya. Kosuto lobrote, keveliko brosietaya. Kebada da bakashaya.
Has come to pass. See what the Lord.
Where's the mommy? Where's the mommy? Where's the mommy?
See what the Lord.
I saw him in my spirit right now. Shh, fire. Kobato Shebrande Leba. Carry, help him. I saw him in my spirit right now. There's a portal opening for you. A portal opening for you. More open doors. You have not seen anything yet, mommy. There's a surge of God's grace, wisdom, craftiness, craft, that craft that God has given to you. a salt and flow of it. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
Let's come to pass. See what the Lord has done.
All right, let's have a seat. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to try to preach this morning. Keep it playing. Don't stop.
This is our last Sunday here, amen? And we're so glad. Thank God for his fire. Thank God for his grace. Where's Emmanuel? Thank God for his grace. Fresh grace, fresh unction, freshness everywhere. So we're glad that God brought us here, and we're taking our last, you know, moments just to relish and enjoy. We're never going to be here again. Amen. And we're never going to need to be here again. Amen. It's going to be greater and greater, brighter and brighter, says the Spirit of the Lord. Joshua 1 verse 8, the Bible says, the book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt, bring it down, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and that thou shalt have good success. The book of the law, he says, should not depart from where? From where? So we're going to preach together this morning. This book of the law, talking about God's word, his promises must not depart from your mouth. I said last Sunday that the word of God is for three things. For one, number what? One. For what? For revelation. Number two, for what? Instruction. Number three, for what? So it says this word must not depart out of your mouth, but you would meditate upon it day and night. He said, when you do that, it is when you do that that you'll be able to do what is written therein. Now, if the word says that you are going to be prosperous, it is when you ensure that the word does not depart from your mouth and you meditate upon it day and night, is when you'll be able to do what is written therein. You cannot do what God's word says you can do if you are not ensuring that the word stays in your mouth and stays in your heart. It says day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. The word must not depart from off your mouth. I said clearly in Psalm 1, verse 1 to 5. So open to me Psalm 1, verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners, that does not sit in the seat of scornful. But Psalm 1, verse 1 to 5, quickly, media help me. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon it does he meditate day and night. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 5. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of your God. He does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. Verse 2. The Bible says, but his delight. Someone says delight. Say delight. What's the meaning of delight? Eh? It's excitement. Have I told you about people being excited about God's word? I've told you before in SLC, you can't be sitting at God's word and be tired. And be looking, morose. I mean, it says his delight is excited at his word. When he finds the word, Jeremiah 15:16, when I found your word, I ate it. It became a joy and a rejoicing in my spirit. It says his delight is God's word, and he meditates upon the night. Verse 3, quickly. Verse 3, and it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of many water that bringeth forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The Bible says whatsoever he does. So it's the same book of law will lead to prosperity. The same book of law will lead to prosperity. I said God's will is in his word. I said all that last Sunday. Please, if you are not in church, please do get the sermon. It will bless you. I spoke about direction. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? So if the Lord is my shepherd, I am supernaturally provided for. He said, I will not lack. I will not want. I will not want. If God is my shepherd, if he's one leading me, if God is one leading me into that business, I will not want. If God is one leading me into that job, I will not want. If God is the one leading me into anything, I will not want, because he's my shepherd. Isaiah 48 verse 21 said clearly that when he led them, they did not thirst, even though they were in the desert. Isaiah 48 verse 21, when he led them, they did not thirst. They were not thirsty in a desert. They were not hungry in a Nigeria. When he led them, they were not surprised in a situation that we have, because he led them. He said he split the rock for them and cleaved the rock also, and waters gushed out
waters gushed out in a desert.
Because God was the one leading them. The word of God is for direction. I said all that. So please go look at it. So I want to say a very strong point. When God asks you to do something by his word, you need to obey promptly. Prompt obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God steers your heart, my son, jump into this. Delayed obedience is disobedience. That's one. Two, partial obedience is disobedience. When God sees that you are always partially obeying his instructions, he will reduce his instructions to your level of obedience. If God wants to do something great in your life and he gives you an instruction to bring out that greatness, but he notices that you are always reducing the instruction to the level that your faith can handle, the next instruction you will get will be at the level that your faith can handle. Are you getting my point? So in Luke chapter 5, let me show you this. I'm sure you may not have seen this before. Luke chapter 5. Jesus Christ was talking to the disciples. They had caught nothing. He said, cast your nets. Cast your nets. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Let's look at this together. So I need you to help me, media. Luke chapter 5 as well, because I'm juxtaposing these scriptures together. Luke 5, 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 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 launch out into the deep and let down your what? So you can see that there's a plural indicating that Jesus said, get plenty nets. What I'm about to give you, one net cannot handle it. What I'm about to give you, one company cannot handle it. What I'm about to give to you, one office space cannot handle it. It says, borrow many vessels. So it says, let down your nets. You see, Jesus knows what he wants to do. So when it says, break forth, look for space, look for room, it's because he knows what he wants to do. So he gives a specific instruction. He says, let down your nets for a drought. Verse 5. So let's look at what Peter did. Verse 5. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will do what? I will let down my net. So we think Peter walked in faith, but he walked in partial faith. At your word. Make it not be like, say, I know, obey. I will let down my what? So it says, let down the nets. Peter said, I will let down the nets. So the Bible says in verse 6, verses quickly. And they caught so much fishes. And what happened? The net break. God does not like waste. When the net break, what happened? What does it mean? Fishes fell back into the water. So because God was planning for an overflow, an abundance of more and more, he made provision for that more and more. He gave instruction for that more and more. But Peter obeyed at the level that his faith could handle. So the net broke. That is why some of us are missing clients. You are losing clients. You are losing opportunities. Because your heart is not even prepared with nets for what God is bringing. When God spoke to you, he was looking at nets. You were looking at nets. In your mind, you think this is too big. It can't happen. It can't be true. But so that doesn't look as if I didn't obey God. Let me just do what I can handle. At least I will be doing something. Nothing is, something is better than nothing. So the clients came and you didn't have the capacity to handle it. The businesses came and you didn't have the proficiency to handle it. The opportunities came and you didn't have the mental capacity, mental provision, mental competence to handle it. Because when God says get your nets, you only got one net. And so you lost out. So now the same thing happened. John 21. Give it to me. John 21, quickly. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I beg your pardon. John chapter 20, verse 21. Let me open it for my scripture. John chapter 20. I warned you. The John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Let me read from here. Verse 6. So we're going to go together. Let's start from verse 5. Bible says, then he said to them, children, verse 5. John 21, verse 5. John 21, verse 5. Then he said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, what? So this is the same thing that happened when he met them at the first time in their life. They had caught nothing all night. This same thing, they had caught nothing all night. He had resurrected from the dead. He had gone to heaven. Then they had gone back to fishing. So they left what he told them to do and went back to fishing. So he came and he wasn't angry with them. He didn't say, Peter, you disappointed me. I was counting on you. He didn't say that. He understands your emotional needs. He understands your physical needs. I told you that he will settle you. Don't worry. He knows that when you are settled, you face ministry better.
Your eyes will be clear when there's food in the fridge. Hunger is a distraction. You don't understand? Poverty is a distraction. Poverty is the greatest poison on the earth. I'm telling you the truth. I know. We are thinking of children's school fees. When you are praying, you are distracted. You see, but when everything is sorted out, you can say, Father, I bless you for the nations. I see Antarctica. Be filled. Open. Receive it. I declare over Kenya of a surge of the spirit. You know, you can begin to think of the nations because you are healed. Now you can be praying for the healing of the nations. For out of the abundance of the heart. Yeah. God wants you to speak out of abundance. So John, he says, have you got nothing? He said, nothing. So he told them in verse 6, he says, cast your net to the... Did you hear what he said? What did he say? Cast your net. So this time, he was not going to give them that anymore. Because they were not ready for it. They didn't obey the first time. So he reduced his instruction to their level. Have you wondered why you have stopped getting net-breaking testimonies? Because your faith was not growing. You shrunk your faith. And so God shrunk his instructions to meet you at the level of your faith. So he says, cast your net. And what did they do? Well, they cast their nets and they caught how many fishes? Multitudes of fishes. They were not able to draw it. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it before, and plunged into the sea and began to swim fast to Jesus. Now, you have to understand the two scenarios. Now that Peter knew that he was the Lord, what did Peter do? He started running towards Jesus. At the first time, what did he say? Depart from me if I'm a sinner. So, walking with Jesus for 3 years, he knew that Jesus was love. His mindset about Jesus had changed. When you commit sin, run to Jesus. He had found out. So the moment, it's Jesus. Before he was going to say, hey, master, you must not meet me like this. Hey, what am I doing in my life? He ran to him. He had known Jesus. If you go on to verse 11, the Bible says they caught so much fish and dragged the net to land full of large fish. Verse 11, 153. Although there were so many, yet was not the net broke. You understand? So the net didn't break. Just enough for your faith. Just enough for your level. Every time you shrink your faith, every time you shrink your obedience, God shrinks his instructions. This is not the year to shrink your faith. This is the year to stretch it. What has God told you? Stretch it. He can do it because he said it. Amen. So what other channels does God want to use to increase? I've said about the word number two. Channel that God wants to use to increase you in this season is giving. Someone say giving. Say it again, say giving. Now, as much as giving has been abused and misused, whether by pastors or by prophets or by members, giving remains God's very critical channel of blessing his people. It remains God's very critical channel of blessing his people. Proverbs 11 verse 24. Give it to me fast. Proverbs 11 verse 24. Proverbs 11 verse 24. The Bible says there's one that scatters and yet increases. And there's one that withholds more than his meat, but is tending more to poverty. There's one that scatters everywhere, gives everywhere, but yet is increasing. And there's one that is withholding, keeping, refraining from giving more than his meat, but is tending to poverty, tending more to lack. Giving is not what we do to help God. You have to remove that contribution mindset, that osusu mindset from your mind. Your offering is not contribution. Giving is not what you do to meet the need of God. Giving is what you do to have your own needs met. God does not have need. Psalms chapter 50. It says, if I were hungry, will I have asked you? None of us here qualifies to help God. None of us is in that category. If God wants to fall down now, none of us can grab him. If you are going on the street now and a trailer, it's about to fall. They say, help us, hold it. You are going to crush. Nobody can help God. So giving to God is not helping God. Giving to God is to have your own needs met. Genesis 8 verse 22. Genesis 8 verse 22. Genesis 8, very fast. My time is fast spent. Genesis 8 verse 22. It says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not see. So it's seed time. It's not seed time and harvest time. It's seed time, harvest. As long as the earth remains, seed time. If you don't sow, you will not reap. Prayer is not the solution to poverty. Nobody had to pray their way out of poverty. Are you following me closely? Are you following me now? Now, I don't want church to go silent on me because I'm talking about giving. I'm not asking you to give anything. I'm just preaching. So relax your mind. Eh? That is chill. I'm not asking you to give anything. Sit down. If you don't sow, you will not reap. It's not a curse. If you don't sow, you will not reap. 2 Corinthians 9:6. How does God increase me? Increase me by his word. Number 2, increases me by my giving. It says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that sows sinkingly will reap sinkingly. And he who sows bountifully will also do what? Answer me now. He would reap bountifully. Next verse, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. So he says, every man. David is every man. Nobody's excluded. Every man in church purposes in your heart, this is how much I want to give. He says, so let him give. Not grudgingly. What does it mean to give grudgingly? You squeeze your veins as if I'm twisted you to give. It says, if you give grudgingly, there's no reward. It says, not grudgingly or of necessity. What's the meaning of necessity? Eh? Obligation. If I don't do now, they will say we did not do. Let's just do so that they will say at least we have done our best. Every giving out of obligation has no reward. It says, for God loves a cheerful giver. Last verse, verse 8. Then after you have done this, he said, then God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, all grace, all sufficiency, all things may abound to every good work. Who has amplified of this? Sharply. Amplified. Who has NLT of this? NLT, amplified. Verse 8, NLT. Is that NLT? Yeah, give it to me. Mike. Amplify. You have amplified? Give me amplified. I'm going to take both. Verse 8.
And God is able to make...
That is 2 Corinthians 9:8, Abby?
Yes, sir.
Amplified version. Yeah. Give it to us.
And God is able to make all grace.
God is able to make every kind of grace, yes?
Every favor. And earthly blessing.
Somebody say earthly blessing. Because there are some people who are in church. Anywhere they see riches, they say, it must be about heaven. And when they say abundance, say, is heaven we are talking about? Heaven, of course, I agree, but I'm the striker. See, we love just my ear. That's it. That's it. Don't leave me. Every earthly blessing. Can you give me one of earthly blessings? A beautiful eye. A nice car, a beautiful house in a beautiful location. Amen. Wonderful kids, beautiful wife, amazing husband. These are earthly blessings. It was very good to specify it because of people who are very omni spiritual. Between them and God, they might even see some fault with God. Say, God is not really spiritual. The way God is behaving nowadays, I think we need to pray for God. It's his earthly blessings. Are we reading from the Bible? Continue, please.
Come to you in abundance.
He says he wants all these earthly blessings to come to you. How? In abundance. Yes.
So that you may always.
So that you are always.
And under all circumstances.
And under, please, I want you to mark those words. You are always and under every circumstance, under every political party, under every political policy, under every circumstantial situation, under every continent, under every economic issue, under every circumstance. Under every, yes, continue.
And whatever the need be.
And whatever the need is.
Be self-sufficient.
You are how? Self-sufficient. Whatever the need. Whatever the need. And in every circumstance. And always. Not sometimes. January is a broke month or February is a... You're always. Always. Bible says, live never without. Always. Always. Yes, continue.
Possessing enough to require no aid.
He says you are possessing enough to require no help. Are you looking at that scripture?
Yeah.
You have enough. So much you don't need anybody to help you because you have enough. Continue.
Or support.
Or support of whatever kind, yes?
And furnished in abundance.
You are furnished in abundance.
For every good work.
Every good work.
And charitable donation.
So when they say we need to send trailer loads of rice to Morovia, says, don't worry, we're able to fix that. I listened to Bishop Edubo this morning, and he said, somebody in the church, one person, paid for the 1,000 salaries of all the missionaries of all the 1,000 churches they built. Paid salaries of all of them. So I'm responsible for their salary, don't worry. 1,000 people. One person. Say, Pastor, don't worry. I'll be paying their salary. 1,000 people. You have brainwashed them. I'm telling you, you have brainwashed them. Brainwashed them enough to be able to pay 1,000 people's salary. People that they have not brainwashed. The Bible says you are furnished in abundance. But why? So go back to verse 7 in Amplified. So we enjoy that verse 8, Abi. So let's go back. To verse 6 in Amplify. What does it say?
Remember this.
He will sow sparingly.
And grudgingly. Will also reap sparingly.
Will also be reaping sparingly.
And grudgingly. And he will sow generously. That blessings may come to someone.
That blessings may come to others.
Will also reap generously.
Will also be reaping generously.
And with blessings.
Amen. So we see that he explains that giving is that sowing. He explains sowing, then when it goes to giving. When I give, is sowing. And God wants us to start from where you are. He said to Abraham, Abraham, start from where you are. God's not asking you to start from, don't start from paying 1,000 bu salary. Say, hey, no, start from where you are. God never leaves you without a seed. I can tell you that. There's always a seed. You are never without a seed. The widow of Zarephath had a last lunch. That was a seed. Are you following me? That was a seed in her hands. That boy in the desert had his lunch. So when they gave his 5 bread and 2 fishes, and that boy was going home after service, and the 12 disciples carrying 12 baskets of bread and fish, following home, his mommy said, what happened? He said, I gave my lunch and I'm back with 12 baskets. Are you following my point? Always, you are always with a seed. The widow of Shunammite had a seed. She had a house she could give to Elisha. Everyone here has a seed right now. The woman had the oil, a jar of oil in her house. Don't say, I don't have anything. You always have, look around you, there's something. There's always something. Peter had toiled all night and caught nothing, but he had his boat. That was a seed. He didn't have anything to give Jesus, but he gave him his boat. Preach from my boat. That was my seed. Everybody has a seed. This venue is a product of a seed. This venue. I can tell you that. How? We had gone everywhere. Scrambled everywhere. Me and my wife, driving in the night. From one venue to the other. We couldn't get anywhere. I parked in the middle of the road, parked by the roadside. I was confused. I said, Lord, there must be a way out of this. God said, what do you want? I said, I want a venue for our church. He said, your friend, he mentioned his name, Pastor So-and-so, They need to pay their rent. For the, he didn't tell me anything. He said they need to pay their rent for their church. I said, yes, Lord. He said, send so amount of money to them as a seed. Now, the amount I sent to my friend was over 80% of his church's annual rent. I said, Lord, but I need money. I need this money. We are still looking for venue. He said, yes, but he has got a venue but doesn't have his rent. So I set the seat to him. He called me and started crying. He said, Philip, what did you know? He said, when did God tell you? I said, I don't even want to talk about this, please. You know, because I was not in the mood for that kind of talk. I gave him my seat. That was my last seat. You are never left without a seat. Let me tell you the truth. I'll come there. In less than 1 week, this place opened. We came here and we took possession. Our account in all of our accounts in church, all of our accounts, home and abroad, domiciliary and domiciliary, everything was about 600,000. Everything. All the money that we had. This place was going for over 3 million. And we're back, when we came in here, we had to buy ACs, we had to buy chairs. We spent over 5 million. We didn't touch the 600,000. We didn't touch it. We didn't touch it. I'm your pastor, I can't lie to you. We didn't touch it. We spent over 5 million, paid the rent, bought the ACs, bought more speakers, bought sound equipment. I said, leave the 600,000. God has enough to handle this. Amen. You are always with a seed. Always with a seed. God's promises for prophecy doesn't answer to prayer. If you don't have a seed in the ground, praying for an harvest is a waste of time. Harvest is a result of sowing. My wife and I went to visit a woman. I think I'll end because of my time is... My wife and I went to visit a woman. She's quite elderly. She's almost 60. She lives in a very fine house. Follow me. Very fine house. When I mean fine, it's house you enter. Those houses you enter from outside, you'll be saying, Kai. Ah. You know, there's a way poverty embraces you. Everything will look like waste. Say, but why? Why did they have to use glass to do this thing? You know what I'm talking about? Pastor Dibbe said he went somewhere with his son. And when they were climbing the staircase, that there was a pool behind, under the staircase. That the staircase was glass. And there was a pool. And you could see live fishes swimming under the staircase. So he said, shut up, don't disgrace me here. He said, but why? Why do we waste all these things? Why are we wasting things? See, this thing could have been sold. And the money used to buy 5 bags of rice. And you divide it small, Lilo. And go and give it to the poor. Poverty. God. Amen. God is an abundant God. Do you know that there are many trees in the forest bringing forth fruits every month? And the fruits are rotting. And God has never complained to any tree. That why are you bringing so much fruit? Did you see anybody to hit it? There are trees that are rotting. Fruits are rotting. God is an abundant God. All the waters in the ocean, nobody's drinking it. Why did he put so much water? Why can't he just sell those water and give the money to the poor? The landscape. Look at the land. Go to Sahara Desert. You see sand. For thousands of kilometers, nobody's living there. Thank you. Nobody's living there. Why did you create so much land? Why did you fill everywhere with so much things? What are we doing with it? Why did you not sell it? I used the money to feed the poor. So I entered his house. My wife sat down. She came. She was at bed. Her bed was 2 days before. But she called me. I told her I couldn't come because I wanted to pray. I was praying all through the day. So I said, I won't be able to come out today, but I'm going to spend some time to pray. So I went the 2 days. So we sat down. She came in from my bedroom. I said, oh, pastor, welcome. She sat down. I said, you're doing an amazing job. And I was just looking around. Say, which one is that one? Is that one shoe or glass or what? You know, when they wanted to serve us, they put the wine in that trolley, and they put golden trolleys, and they put in the glasses, and you know, even the cup, the glass, or the bottle holder was so beautiful, gold, everything gold, gold plated. I said, but why the waste? Why so much gold? You know that they use gold to create road in heaven. So why did they not sell this gold and give the money to the poor? So she said to me, she said, Philip, she said, you know, I got this house. I said, no, tell me, ma. So when my husband and I came to Abuja, I was doing business. Our rent was due. We couldn't pay our rent. And I began to pray, Lord, I don't want to pay rent. I need a house. So our landlord would come and bang our door. Leave, get out. You don't have money. No more. See this embarrassment. So then suddenly she got a business. And when she got that business, the money came. The money was exactly the rent. So we're like, thank you, Jesus. God said, no, that money is not for your rent. That money is to sow as a seed. Sow that seed for my house that's been built. You're building a house on drug then. Go and sow that. He said, what? Everybody said, you are crazy. God can never say that. Listen to me. Satan can never tell you to give God money. Never. Never. If somebody told you to give God money, it's not Satan. So, she said she struggled, but God says that's it. So she took the money and sowed the seed. And you know, in your mind, you'd be expecting that the moment you sow it like this, as you are going home, they just call you, bling, bling, bling. Come out. He said, what? The landlord came next day. Back, back, back. Come out. First week, no money. He said she would drive her car and go and stay by the building, the house on the road building. I said, God, be building your own house, oh. Be building your own. They are about to throw me out. Like, since you do not do it, I'll come and sit down on your neck. Says you every month you resume with the construction people. I'll be there. They will say, maybe looking at God's house as it's growing. He said before she can say Jiffy, God opened doors. And she built the house. She told me how she bought a house in US. She sowed a seed. And a house opened in U.S. Say, what you're saying? I say, God says, what do you want, my daughter? He said, I want a house in U.S. God said, I'll give it to you. He says, Philip, train your people to learn to sow now. He said, I see you have a lot of young people in church. He said, don't wait till they grow. He said, you think they don't have money? He said, that is when they are supposed to sow. When they don't have money. Because when they sow into what God is doing, that they open doors for themselves. She said stories. She said about House on the Rock. She said a lot. In fact, she told me that was the story I posted on our page. We're there for over 2 hours. And she kept, and you look around, you see it. Even your brain will be opening. Pop, 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 pop. I'm playing too small. I'm playing too small. There's so much more available in God. You know, but you know, that's so I was with me and Valentine went to Wari yesterday. I said, you know, as we park here now, we on the AC. We packed, we were waiting for Kunle. I said, someone said, why are we on this? This is a waste. Let's off the engine. Sell the gas and use the money to give.
Amen.
Give. Learn it now. Give tithes. Give your offerings. Give to your spiritual parents. Give to the prophets that God has placed ahead of you. Give to them. Give to the poor. Bible says that gives to the poor lends to God. It says a liberal soul shall be made fat. It says give to your parents. If you have parents, aging parents, don't leave them all to themselves. Give to them. The third key is walking. First key is this world, two channel, second channel is giving. Third channel is walking. I don't want to emphasize too much on giving now because we're going to dedicate the entire month in the month of April to breaking financial limitations. I've never done that necessarily before. I'm tired of having broke people in this church. Tired of pastor send money, pastor send money, pastor send money, pastor can't pay. I'm tired. Some people loan up. See, I go to beware. All kinds of. I'm tired. I say, Lord, God says, you don't be teaching your people anything about prosperity. People are spiritual and they are going to be poor, and they are going to be prayerful. prayerful, broke, busted prayer warriors. Because they have not learned the principles of prosperity. So we dedicate the entire month in the month of April teaching on breaking. In fact, Pastor Kingsley said he's coming. Pastor Kingsley will be teaching. He said, Philip, he sent me 2 sermons financing ministry. He said, look, Philip, a lot of people don't know that I enjoy teaching about finance and faith than relationship. He said, I don't even like preaching on relationship. That's what he said, I enjoy talking more about finance and faith than I talk on relationship. But on our business summit, we are bringing these secrets. We want to bring Ibuku Awoshika. We want to bring T.Y. Belo. They want to bring this Coach Charis boss. Cosmos Maduka. You cannot be broke. I will not agree. I'm telling you, I will not agree. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to stretch you. If there's more, then you deserve it. Yes, are you following my point?
Yes,
so Todd is walking. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4 says, it becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. He's dealing, no? But he's dealing with a slack hand. He's dealing, he has deals, but those deals are with slackness. He's slack. He's not smart. He says he becomes poor. Why giving provokes the blessing, walking becomes a channel for the expression of the blessing. The blessing will always be on the works of your hand. Always. God will always talk about blessing as it regards the works of your hand. God will not talk about blessing outside the works of your hand. If God wants to bless you, he wants to bless the works of your hand. You would agree with me that Jesus Christ could have commanded those fishes to come into the boat of Peter. Could he have done that? Could he have said, fishes, enter the boat? And they would have done that. But he wanted to bless Peter by the work of his hands. Go do something. When mama fell, it didn't fall into their mouth. It fell within their reach. They had to come out of their houses and stretch forth their hands and reached out and pick the manna. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to go through the scriptures, guys. Deuteronomy 28. So this chapter is the chapter of the blessing. Deuteronomy 28 is the chapter of the blessing. But let's look at how God says he wants to bless us. Let's start with verse 4. Verse 4 says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground. So he talks about the business that you are doing. It talks first about your body, then your ground. And the increase of your herds, that's still your business. And the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. All that you see there are your businesses. So he wants to bless you. He blesses the work of your hand. The next verse is verse 5. It says, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be your basket and thy store. The basket is your storage, what you store. It says he's going to bless it. The next verse is verse 6. It says, blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. So it doesn't say talk about people staying at home. Even though we know people stay at home and work now. But the context of this scripture is that you are going out and you are coming in. It talks about the work of your hands. Verse 8 and verse 11. Let's go quickly. The Lord, we command his blessing on you and your storehouses. Someone say storehouses. God wants you to have storehouses. Someone say houses. What's the meaning of storehouses? Where you store. So you build house to store kai. You don't understand something. God said that they should have storehouses. It's a command. So they are, why didn't you sell the storehouse and use the money to feed the poor? Do I have a problem with feeding the poor? Absolutely not. I support, I give to it, I am part of it, I stretch to it. But God is not saying you should suffer so much giving to the poor that you don't have a life for yourself. God didn't say that. And the mindset of poverty is that anything that is important, you see, people that are living wealthy, it's not that they don't give to poor, they are the ones that even give to the poor the most. Us people are shouting, give to the pocket. They're not even giving anything. Because they don't even have. In the first place. Are you following my point? So, I'm not against that. If I give, there are people whose school fees we pay. There are people whose hospital bills we pay. We do that all the time. Every week in, week out, my money is going. I'm even used to it now. I just say, God, just keep replacing. Just keep putting it back. Because there's nothing I can do. So, but I don't have a problem. But that doesn't mean you should drive your Ferrari. You get my point? Drive it with all the, you know, shoulder part. It's God that do it for you. The devil can go and shout if he wants to. All right, let's go on. verse 8, verse 11, and verse 12. It says, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give thee rain and the land in your season, and to bless all the work of what? Of your hands. So God's emphasis is the work of your hands. The work of your hands. I'm running up very fast. Works of your hands. Jesus says, my Father works and I do work. I walk. He says, I must walk the works of him that sent me. God wants to bless the work of your hand. Proverbs 18 verse 16, it says, the gift of a man will do what? But then it says in Jeremiah chapter 22 verse 29, it says that a man that is diligent in his work will stand before kings. So the gift of a man will make room for him, but his diligence in his work will make him stand before those kings. So if the gifts open doors for you and you're not diligent, you're going to lose the space. Have you seen people that got opportunity, but we're not able to maximize it because they were not diligent? They gave, they sowed seed, and God gave them an opportunity and gave them an open door. They came into the presence of a king, and they were not good enough to deliver at the level the king was expecting. So they lost the opportunity. So while your gifts and your seeds will open rooms for you, your diligence will make you stay there. You know, I'm so proud when you stand before someone and say, "Kai, this guy is smart. Kai, smart man. Kai." You know, when I see my people talking, I say, "Kai, Kai, 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 this guy is smart. Kai." You know, you can build them. You're already impressed. Say, "Yo, my bill is 2 million. He says, "He's smart. It's true. Give him. He's smart." Say, "Amen."
Amen.
Give him. Knowing where the problem is more important than being able to solve it. You will understand later. All right. It's the people that can carry concrete. Somebody has drawn the building. The architects get paid more. He doesn't carry one bag of cement. Stays in his house. Draws it. Yeah, it might be. They are carrying it. He earns millions. They earn 3,000 now. He sits in his house. Person that knows how to do it knows how to do it. All right, so we have our fathers in faith. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are all workers. At 75, Abraham was still a cattle rearer. Hard worker. Isaac dug a well. They filled it up. Dug another one. They filled it up. He's a tireless worker. Faced failures over and over. Didn't give up. How many of you have faced failure in your life before? Several failures. But didn't give up. They kept at it. Kept at it. Kept at it. And then he keeps building. Because God loves a tireless worker. Jacob is the balam body of all of them all. He was a creative worker. You know what Jacob did? I don't have the time. I can't read to school because my time has gone. Alright, but I'll end with this. We'll continue next Sunday. Our church has not closed. Alright. Jacob was walking with Laban. Follow me. And Laban said, I'm going to give you. Can you give me that scripture? Genesis chapter 30. Let me see the verse. Open it for me. Genesis chapter 30. That's the last one. The Bible says that Jacob was working for Laban and had worked for 14 years or 20 years. And Laban was trying to cheat him. Give it to me. You can't see my writing. Don't try. Okay, so let me get it for you. Genesis chapter 30. Where he said was going to help him. Okay, start from that. Is it 31? Genesis chapter 30 verse 31. Let's see. What does it say? Okay, so he says, and he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou would allow me to do this, I will feed your flock again. So in this scripture, Jacob wanted to start, he wanted to leave Laban. I haven't worked for 20 years. Laban said, don't go. He said, if you leave me, I've observed that God has blessed me because of you. That's a covenant of increase. I'm teaching on covenant of increase next Sunday. So next verse, verse 32. Jacob now said, I will pass through all the flock. You know what? Let's take it NLT. NLT will make it smooth and fast. Do more. Collect the mic. We're going to read it very fast. And I'm going to end this. Genesis 30, 32 now. Yes, NLT. So Jacob said, let me inspect your flock. This is how you're going to pay me. This is how you're going to pay me my salary now. Let me inspect your flock, yes?
Let me inspect your flocks today.
Yes.
And remove all the sheep and the goats that are speckled or spotted.
So he said, let me remove all the goats that have stripes or spots from the midst of all the flock, yes?
Along with all the black sheep.
Any sheep that is black, yes?
Give these to me as my wages.
This will be my own wages. That will be my salary. So yes, continue.
In the future, when you check on the animals.
So when you check tomorrow and you see my goats, yes?
You have given me as my wages.
You have given my wages, yes?
You see that I have been honest.
You see that I do not take anything that belongs to you, yes?
If you find in my flock
Yes?
Any goats without speckles or spots.
So if you now find among my flock anything that doesn't have spots or speckles, yes?
Or any sheep that are not black.
That's not black, yes?
You will know that I have stolen them
from you. Then you know that I stole them from you. Do you understand to that point? You understand? Everybody understands, Abby? Oh yeah, so continue.
All right. Laban replied.
So Laban said, okay, no problem.
It will be as you say.
What you said now, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to give you all the goats that have speckled, all the goats that have spots, and the blacks. We're going to give you that as your salary. Continue.
But that very day...
That day, gone. You see what Laban did? Continue.
Laban went out.
So Laban went.
And removed the male goats.
And went to remove all the male goats.
That were streaked.
Every goat that was streaked, speckled, yes.
And spotted.
Every all of them, yes.
All the female goats.
All the goats that are female. Female that can bring forth. Carry everybody.
That were speckled.
Yes.
And spotted.
Yes.
Or had white patches.
Yes.
And all the black sheep.
All the black. What was supposed to be Jacob's salary? He packed everything, yes.
He placed them in the care of his own sons.
He now gave his children. You people, carry this one. Mm-hmm.
Who took them a 3 days journey?
The trek. Far. How these goats are going to mate with those other goats? We want to see it now. 3 days. The trek. They were trying to cheat Jacob. You see, but you cannot cheat a man who has the blessing on him. You cannot cheat them. So continue.
Who took them a 3 days journey?
Yes.
From where Jacob was?
Yes.
Meanwhile?
Yes.
Jacob stayed. And cared for the rest of Laban's flock.
He cared for the remaining flock.
Then Jacob took some fresh branches.
You will now see something. Somebody say creativity. Put your hand on and say, Lord, make me creative. So we see that Abraham was an hard worker. Isaac was a tireless worker. Jacob was a creative worker. Are you understand what I'm saying? So a combination of both is an explosion. You cannot but miss. Okay, continue. So let's see what happens.
Branches from poplar.
Yes.
Almond.
Yes.
And plain trees.
Plain trees, yes.
And peeled off stripes off the bark.
So he peeled off the bark of those trees.
Making white streaks on those branches.
Are you following my point? Yes. So what did he do next?
Then he placed these peeled branches in the watering troughs where the flocks came to
drink. When the flock that are now not speckled, not striped, plain, that they left so you have no salary, when they came to take water, Jacob had put those branches in the troughs of the watering regions. Yes?
For that was where they mated.
That was where these goats that were not speckled, not striped, were going to mate at that place. Yes, continue.
And when they mated in front of the white
branches. When they are mating branches, in front of those branches.
They gave birth to young. That were stripped. Speckled.
And speckled.
And spotted.
And spotted. So every child they started burning, were stripped and speckled. And spotted. Are you following my point? Continue.
Jacob separated those lambs.
Anyone that happened like that is separated.
From Laban's flock.
My salary is completing. Oh yeah. Continue. Yes.
And at the mating time. He turned the flock to face Laban's animals.
He now turned those flock to face Laban's animals.
That were streaked.
Yes.
Or black. This is how he built his own flock.
He started building his own flock from
instead of increasing Laban's.
Because they were going to cheat him. But God gave him his wisdom. Till now, I don't think that thing can work. I don't understand what it works. It's unimaginable. Continue.
Whenever the stronger females were ready
to mate. Someone say stronger females. The stronger animals about to mate, yes.
Jacob would place the peeled branches.
He would place those branches there.
In the watering troughs. In front of them. Then they will mate in front of the branches.
They will mate from those, but as they build it, they become. As you are building, you are burning what you are saying. Every time you face God's word, you are burning what you are saying. Are you following? As you face it, you are looking at it, you are breathing what you are saying. Continue.
But he didn't do this with the weaker ones.
So when he saw weak goats, he left them alone. To burn plain. Unspeckled. Call him and die. Alright, continue.
So the weaker lambs belonged to Laban. And the stronger ones were Jacob's.
And stronger ones became Jacob's.
As a result, Jacob became very wealthy.
He became very wealthy.
With large flocks of sheep.
And goats.
Female and male servants. And many camels and donkeys.
By creative work. Rise on your feet. Ah! Blessed be God. Blessed be God. We are going to pray this morning. Number one, we are going to ask God for the grace to give. The Bible calls the grace for giving. There's a grace that makes giving easy. You're going to declare, you're going to pray three prayer points. This is the first one. Father Lord, this morning I receive a grace to release everything you prompt in my heart. I'm not holding back anymore. In the name of Jesus, I will not struggle to give that which I've put in my hands. This morning I receive the grace to release. In the name of Jesus. Pray that prayer. 1 minute. Pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.